Chapter 142. Explosions at the Love Goods. Twilight had come on while they were talking about fairy tales and thinking about invisibility cloaks, so it was probably just the light that cast Luna in shadows. Harry stood up, remembered to breathe, and smiled as if nothing was wrong. "Hey, Luna, I was beginning to get worried about you." "I thought you would," she said, and finished coming down the stairs to stand next to Greg, putting a hand on his arm. "That's why I stayed here, so you could find me." Harry's thoughts were a very quiet scream, and he ignored them with all the hard-won skill of his occlumency. "That's a very nice tiara," he said. "Can I see it?"
"I thought I would show it to you when I first found it," Luna said, "but I'm not sure I should now."
"Why's that?" Harry asked, casually going to look out the front window. Luna and Greg's eyes followed him.
"It doesn't like you," Luna explained, "and I've been trying to make it happy with moonbeams and cakes."
Harry turned to stare at her, and did not look over her shoulder towards the other end of the room. "You've been trying to befriend the Diadem of Ravenclaw?" One of Voldemort's horcruxes, and she was trying to make friends? Hadn't she been paying attention to what happened to Ginny?
"Oh, yes," Luna said earnestly. "It was only logical."
"Luna, you do remember what happened to Ginny?"
"Yes, Harry," Luna said. "But I'm more worried about what is happening to Ginny right now. And it says it can help. We do really need help, Harry."
It was at this point that three stunning spells, aimed by Hermione, Draco, and Ron, hit Luna, Greg, and the Arumphant horn on the wall, which promptly exploded. Fragments of wood and paper and rubble flew in all directions, along with an impenetrable cloud of thick white dust. Harry flew through the air, then crashed to the floor, unable to see as debris rained upon him, his arms over his head. He heard Hermione's scream, Ron's yell, and a series of sickening metallic thuds, which told him that Xenophilius had been blasted off his feet and fallen backward down the spiral stairs. Half buried in rubble, Harry tried to raise himself. He could barely breathe or see for the dust. Half of the ceiling had fallen in, and the end of Luna's bed was hanging through the hole. The bust of Rowena Ravenclaw lay beside him, with half its face missing. Fragments of torn parchment were floating through the air, and most of the printing press lay on its side, blocking the top of the staircase to the kitchen. A couple different white-covered figures were still moving around. One, Hermione, came to dig Harry out. After a few moments, the beginnings of spells from downstairs started to unblock the stairs. Harry coughed, dust clogging his throat, and started working on digging himself out as well. In short order, they were once again arrayed in much the same places in the living room, aside from Luna and Greg being unconscious, and the whole place being a pile of rubble. Hermione had stuffed the diadem into her beaded bag. "Mr. Lovegood?" Harry said, since no one else seemed ready to talk. "What did Luna mean? What's happening to Ginny now?"
"Oh, well, perhaps I shouldn't say. Luna wasn't sure it was right to involve you. Very busy you are, Mr. Potter. The Hollows, wasn't it? I could certainly see how the Elder Wand would be useful right about now."
"Mr. Lovegood," Harry said more firmly, "tell me what's happening to Ginny right now."
"She and that other friend of Luna's distracted the Death Eaters, as I understand it," Mr. Lovegood mumbled, "while Luna and Greg went looking for that extraordinary, artifact. She said you wanted it."
"I do want it," Harry said evenly. "Which other friend?"
"Neville Longbottom, I believe. Poor lad. Luna said he never had much nerve. I imagine Azkaban will be quite trying for him."
The bottom fell out of Harry's world, and a roaring beast came alive within him, screaming, "No, no, no!" He was struck dumb, too tempted to lash out, to shout, to scream at Mr. Lovegood, who certainly was not to blame. Harry couldn't protect anyone. Neville and my sister are in Azkaban? Ron asked, very heavily.
Yes, yes, that is what I said, isn't it? Mr. Lovegood said rather haughtily. Terrible times we live in, terrible times. But I kept telling Luna, no good getting yourself killed going after them. Haven't we already had enough trouble? She has to think about herself, Mr. Potter. You must see that.
Harry wasn't sure why Mr. Lovegood was looking at him. He wasn't sure what his own expression was like, but it seemed to make Mr. Lovegood quail.
You'd better wake Luna and Greg up, Harry said. Take her wand, just in case.
Hermione obeyed, a dust-white ghost with a rock-steady wand, and both were promptly enervated. With a great deal more energy to her tone, Luna said,
Well, Daddy, I did tell you that horn was unlucky.
Harry snorted quietly and asked,
All right, Luna? Oh, fine. I am feeling a great decrease in wax spurt activity.
Harry translated that as less dark and crazy. Can you two tell me what happened? Or, no, I suppose the important part is what happened to Ginny and Neville. What happened to Ginny and Neville was, it turned out, much as Mr. Lovegood had explained, and the whole party migrated down to the kitchen by common agreement, for dinner and to avoid rooms with holes in the ceiling. There was dinner, which tasted like nothing and felt like lead in Harry's stomach. He couldn't escape the visual. Ginny and Neville taunting the Carrows and Snape with a carefully orchestrated string of traps, not stopping even when they'd been sighted, running, not towards any safety, but just away, to give Luna the few moments she needed to search the room of lost things that Greg had told her about for the item that Harry had been careless enough to speak about.
Where was Greg in all this? Draco asked, sounding far too calm on an evening when Harry's world was breaking into pieces, because he couldn't go running off to save Ginny this time. He had a mission. But his thoughts circled and stalled. Neville confronting him about going to get the Philosopher's Stone. Ginny, hair brilliant red, flying on a broomstick. Neville and D.A., relentless and focused. Ginny in the Chamber of Secrets, fallen, white, and silent.
Greg was off duty, Luna said, but he was on duty later when I came out of the room.
Luna didn't continue, seeming content to eat her peas, sticking them to her knife with mashed potatoes.
Greg? Prompted Draco.
Luna came out. Vince and I were there. He wanted to turn her in, so I killed him.
Silence stretched, vast and cloying and awful. Mr. Lovegood knocked over the salt as he reached for it with a trembling hand.
Well, said Draco, and Harry knew he was white-faced under his coating of white dust. What did you do with the body?
Luna helped me turn it into a vase, Greg said. Is that okay?
Draco pressed his hands to his face, eyes closed for a long moment, then opened them. They were clear, flat, and hard, like gray stone.
Good job, Greg, Draco said. Very good job. It's war, after all. He was on the other side.
Thought so, Greg said,
and his shoulders settled from menacing looming back to their default slouch. Luna leaned her forehead against his shoulder, and Harry saw tears painting lines in the dust on her cheeks. He looked away. This evening could not get any worse. Ron put his knife and fork down and said,
Right, I'm going to go get my sister out of Azkaban. None of the rest of you should come, but I thought you should know.